One of the biggest things we have to deal with our children is a lack of impulse control. But that's also one of the biggest things we have to deal with as parents, the lack of impulse control. It's our initial impulse to yell and scream at our children when they're not behaving. We have to learn impulse control.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. This week, talking about that relationship you have with the child and how sometimes we by default either yell or we withdraw our love as a consequence for what they're doing and how it really damages the child in the end.
Yeah, I've got to decide what the goal is. And if the goal is nice, little, neat, tidy children, that's it. These little people that live in your house. And I do think in America today, without realizing it, much of the goal is performance. I want my children to behave. I want them to make all A's. I want them to have a sport and maybe some music and be great at church and everybody love them. Rather than God knows the plans he has for them. He wove them together in their mother's womb. There's a plan here. And so I want them to grow in the area of relationship with me as I hand the baton off to God, hand their hand up to God's hand and have a relationship with him. So my parent-child relationship is extremely important. It's probably the most important thing. It's not about performance. It's about person-to-person relationship. But what gets in the way of the person-to-person relationship is the fact that our children are children and they're going to do things that are unacceptable. And much of life is placing them in a scenario where they have to make a decision. You don't get out of bed when I call you the first time. I'm coming back in to call you for breakfast. You're not up. We're eating without you. We'll give you some breakfast on the way out the door to school, but you're going to bed that night. And the turmoil inside that child is minimal turmoil while they're trying to say, I don't want to get up, but I do want to get up, but I don't want to get up, but I do want to get up. If we go back in and the only thing we really use is yelling and screaming, how many times do I have to tell you to get out of bed? Then we're starting them off being ridiculed as they go out the door. But the bigger thing is they're not learning to exercise their decision-making muscle. Mm-hmm. It's pleasurable to stay in bed. It's irresponsible. It's responsible to get out of bed. And later on tonight, I will be so glad I did when I see my younger brother have to go to bed early. I'll realize they made a good choice. But on the flip side with that, as they're dealing with the impulse to stay in bed, I have to deal with the impulse to let it all come out. There's another interesting thing, I think, going on in America today, and I think is there is no appropriate place for us to express our frustration until we get in the door of the house. Yeah. We can't do it at work. We'll lose our job. We can't do it in public. Nobody cares. We do it a little bit on I-95 when we honk and go crazy over somebody costing us a millisecond or whatever it is. We're absolutely bizarre, and we're very, very self-centered, but we don't know how to express it. And we get home, and we kind of unpack our frustrations at home for our life, and we take it out on the last place we want to take it out, on our family.
So what do you do? Where should we be venting our frustration?
Well, I think we should be venting a jog, do something. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. I mean, I'm grateful that it gives me permission for this emotion called anger.
Yes.
But it says, just be angry and sin not. And there's several times in the Bible where we see this, where it actually says, in this anger, Jesus. And it was never the way that he was treated. It was the way other people, broken people, were treated. The woman who was caught in the act of adultery.
Mm-hmm.
The temple that had been turned into a cheating, money-changing business.
A flea market, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think we get some hints on that, but not my children. My children, I have to come up with a different plan. And I think we have to kind of look at it like this. And much of life boils down, much of parenting boils down to two different ethnic groups for me, Italians and Germans. The Germans, I have German background, but I'm an Italian wannabe, grew up in an Italian community. Germans are very methodical. They're very level. They don't get too excited about
things.
Italians
would say they're emotionless,
Italians
maybe.
Italians are exactly the opposite. And I think we flopped it. I really think we need to be German about the parenting and Italian about the relationship.
But
unfortunately, we've become Italian about the discipline, and we've become German about the relationship. None, zero, zip. We're a very busy, performance-oriented people.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than this overt love, it's very hard. You know, if my child sees me reach out, or do they know whether I'm reaching out to give them a hug or give them a smack? I don't want that to ever happen with my child. You know, another time we're going to talk about spanking. And I do believe spanking for the small child plays a part. And it really doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. I got to tell you, all my education, I have 4 degrees, all in secular schools. And so I had to turn a real corner on this until I saw in the Bible that it doesn't really matter. The one who loans us our children said there is a place for spanking. We're going to spend a whole week on that next week. Yeah, there'll be some people shocked and upset and blow up their iPod, but that's okay. The goal here is to use a plan for discipline that opens the door for relationship.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, 1994 was my 20th anniversary at Sheridan House, and the board of directors wanted to buy me something, and I didn't want them to buy me something. Give me time. I want time alone. And I took a trip with my family around North America. We took the summer, and we drove 12,200 miles around North America
in my goodness.
Chevy Astro van. It was awesome. And I came back in January. I wept when we came back over the Florida line that it was done. I had dreamed of this trip. And everybody had a job on the trip, which was hilarious. Roby had to journal. He had to write in it something every day that we did, which everybody complained about. Tori had to keep us under $200 a day, including hotel, $200
wow.
a day. And she was so stressed out. And I acted like Tori the whole time. Oh, no. I want that. Let's get that. I want that.
Dad,
we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. And it was just so much fun. And they're laughing on the inside. And I personally violated it every now and then and popped for more money to do a couple of things I did want to do. But anyway, I get back and I come to my board meeting in September, and they're all jacked to hear about how it went. Rain Morris said, please, before we have a board meeting, tell us about your trip. And I said, it was the trip of a lifetime. And I started, and she just sighed, I so wish I'd have done that with my children. And a man on the board before he could stop it said this, that would be a nightmare for me with my children.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's right. I know his children. If you can't have a plan for discipline, you can't have fun with your kids.
Yeah.
But if you are yelling and screaming at your kids, why would they want to have fun with you?
Right.
You know, I don't want to go here. I don't want to do that. Now, let me say, did my oldest child kind of have some pushback on this trip initially? Can I bring a friend? Can I do that? Yes, she did. But I knew she would love it, and she did love it. But if you're yelling and screaming, nobody wants to go anywhere with you.
So you mean to really say that teenagers, even middle schoolers, can have a good and fun relationship with their parents?
Absolutely. And they should. But we have to go overboard as the parent. Let me give you a perfect example, and you've heard this story before. My mom died when I was in 10th grade. Prior to that, we took a trip. I was probably in 8th grade, which would have put Stephen, my younger brother, in 5th grade. And we went to Colorado. We drove from where we lived in Washington, D.C. to my mom's parents' ranch in Colorado. And it was a 2-week trip. Driving out, you know, staying in hotels. First time I ever stayed in a hotel, staying in hotels out there. Well, fast forward, I was 40, Steve was under 40, and my dad was back in town from wherever, and we all go out to eat here. My brother was in London, and he flew back in, and we're all eating, and now as adults, my dad's sitting there, and my brother and I start talking about the great trip to Colorado, and we're talking about the things we did, and my dad stops. He stops us. He says, wait a minute. Did I just hear you say great trip to Colorado? I remember you referring to this while we're on the trip as this is a nightmare. So I don't get this great trip to Colorado. And we went on and on about the swimming pool, the funny swimming pool that he didn't remember at this one hotel, and the pony Grandpa rented because we couldn't ride his big horses, and all the different things we did. And my dad was literally mystified. But if we live life waiting for our children to say, as you pull in the driveway after the great trip to Colorado, if you expect your 14-year-old to bound out of the car and say, Dad, before we unpack, can I just say something? I want to thank you for the great trip to Colorado. It widened my geographical horizons and changed my entire social perspective on things. And it molded our family together. Thank you for this. No, they're not going to say that. In fact, if they do, they need medication.
Mm-hmm.
They're teenagers. They're not going to say that. But in their hearts, those are the things they remember.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got to know that these are good vitamins for them. But they won't want to do anything with me if I use as a form of discipline, yelling and screaming, and how stupid are you? And I can't even believe you did that again. We've got to place not me being their internal control
mm-hmm.
by what I say to get them to control. We've got to have a plan in place that makes them know if you don't take the garbage out, there is a consequence. I'm not going to yell and scream, but I will enforce that consequence. If you don't get out of bed, if you continue to poke your sister after I've looked at you and said, that's enough, and I'm walking out of the room, you do that again, and you know, I'm sorry that you're 15, but you're acting like 8 and you're going to bed. I don't care if you have a soccer game. You're going to bed after dinner, and we will get you up at 5 o'clock to do your homework. Choose wisely. All of this is not only for family tranquility. All of this is not only to build the parent-child relationship, but it's also to give them internal controls. They need no internal controls if it's just yelling and screaming as the consequence. It's to teach them to decide.
And really takes a little bit of work to think through some consequences, because like you've talked about pitting the child against himself or herself, and to think, okay, if they do this, for example, you don't get out of bed, you get into bed earlier. You don't do that. I mean, for me, at least in my house, chores was the all, you know, I mean, I had a list of chores that I could go down.
And it worked.
And it works.
So I think what happens is, okay, some people are feeling overwhelmed right now. Don't feel overwhelmed. The next time you find yourself yelling, the next time, that's the alarm. It's not yelling. There's a fire alarm that just went off in your head. And you're saying to yourself, okay, I can't even believe I just did that. Kids, sit down. I'm very sorry. I know I told you at the dinner table the other day, I'm done yelling. And I know I told you at the dinner table, every time I yell, blank is going to happen. And so help me stop. And you know what? I heard one guy say, every time I yelled, I, at my house, wrote a 50-word note of apology to that child. Tori has two of them somewhere.
Saved in her memory box.
And he said, you know, we went a different route. Every time I yelled, I put a dollar bill in a jar. When it got to a certain point, we all went and got ice cream or whatever.
Right.
Whatever.
That's awesome.
Well, it just helps the kids even remind you or look at you. But it teaches them not to yell. Mm-hmm. No, if you don't know where to begin, the next time you are compelled to yell or you find yourself yell, realize, okay, this is a behavior that frustrates me. Why does it frustrate me? I guess because they're constantly doing it, or they never are doing what I tell them to do, or I'm a little too busy and my expectations are a little too much right now. And so I've got to stop and come up with a plan to help me have realistic expectations, or help me give myself a little more margin time, because they are children and they're going to forget their book and have to run back in the house or whatever. Or they are children and they're not going to do what they need to do, and I need to have a consequence for it. I've got to put a plan in place that stops me from yelling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when my children do unacceptable behavior, when Tori was disrespectful to Rosemary, and you're going to be the most, I don't know why, it's in your DNA to be disrespectful, mostly to mom. I think it's a compliment to mom.
She's safer.
She's safer.
She's still going to love you.
Mom is the unconditional lover.
Right.
Yes. Although we're watching a trend of moms changing to become the performance lover.
Yeah.
The conditional lover, which is very, very sad. Mom is the cushion of life. She's the cushion of the home, which is a whole great week on mom being the atmospheric home engineer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day here, what we have to see is when the children were disrespectful to mom, then they had to write her a 50-word note of apology. And when I found myself as the initial yeller in our house early, I had to realize, okay, I need to do just what I'm supposed to be setting the example.
So you yelled too?
I did yell. And I'm Tori again's got two letters of apologies for me,
but
for
just
yelling.
Twice?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Tori. It would be great to have her in an interview. So I want to stop. I just want to stop doing
that.
And I don't want to teach them to do that. And I'm impacting my grandchildren. I'm impacting the way my child deals with conflict in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stop. But I also, we've said this over and over and over, I want to place my child in a system where no is an internal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not just talking about getting out of bed. We're not just talking about temper tantrums. We're talking about when they get to be adults and they have an impulse to do something, to buy something, to look at something, to click on something, they have an internal no that says that's irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
And they use the Joseph phrase, how could I do such a thing and sin against God?
Mm-hmm.
I have the ability to not do that. Yelling and screaming does not teach that. If you look at the patience of God with Moses at the burning bush from Genesis 13 to Genesis 15. It's absolutely hilarious.
The excuses that he comes up with.
The immature excuses. He even says he's not a good speaker when Acts chapter 7 tells us he was a great speaker. He was a great speaker back in Egypt. He was trained in speech, it says. Yeah, but God is just patient and patient and patient. And then it says, and God became angry. But he didn't yell and scream.
He just said, go do this.
That's exactly what he said. It's time to do it.
Right.
Just do it. I want to raise my children not using the withdrawal of love as the consequence. I want to put a plan in place that pits them against themselves, not against the decibel level of my voice.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. If you want to find out more about the ministry, even give to the ministry to support all that it does, including this broadcast, you can do that online at shfm.org. There's tons of parenting stuff, even things about marriage as well. That's online at shfm.org. If you want to hear this broadcast again, share it with a friend, maybe who's dealing with yelling in their marriage or their parenting. You can share this with them by telling them to go to parentingtoday.org. And you can even sign up to get an email blog in your inbox every day. That's parentingtoday.org.